We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Human nature is such that mustering the type of circle the wagons approach that Michigan had between Thursday's loss to Central Michigan and Sunday's victory over Maryland makes sense. If you can't find extra effort, strive for better play, put in more work after a loss like that, then, well, you're going to have a really tough season. But then it's about continuing that. The Wolverines followed up their worst performance of the season with their best against the Terps, and it was going to take another high percentile type performance for Michigan to knock off an 11-win Penn State team that came in 2-1 in Big Ten play. And certainly Michigan did that. It was not flawless or nearly perfect like Michigan had on that win over the Terps 3 days prior, but the Wolverines did some things really well. They limited a Penn State team that was the best Big Ten three-point shooting club to just 9 of 28 from downtown. That's 32%. Michigan was able to come up with 47% shooting. They didn't have to lean upon Hunter Dickinson, who put up 32 against the Terps. Michigan got four double-figure performances. Dickinson got his. He led the team with 17 points, but Jet Howard and Kobe Bufkin added 14, and Doug McDaniel was a 12-point, 4-assist, 4-rebound performer. In all, the Wolverines certainly had some less than stellar moments in the win over Penn State, but all in all, it was a victory-worthy performance in a game that, hey, if Michigan's going to find a way to win the Big Ten, this was one of those that, well, felt like a pretty much must-win. Now, can Michigan continue that? Of course, that's the big question. The Wolverines have put up two really solid performances after that loss to Central Michigan. Can that defeat, now 6 days ago, continue to push this team forward? We heard from Jace Howard leading into the Maryland game. The Big Ten season is a 20-round match. Michigan is 3-0 in the first three rounds. A great start, something you strive for at the beginning of the season, but there's a long way to go. The takeaway for Michigan is that, yeah, they experienced the worst juncture of their season to date and probably their worst juncture of the season all year, even with what's to come. But Michigan followed that with its best back-to-back performances all year, and that must continue to carry over if Michigan wants to stay at the top of the league. 79-69, Michigan over Penn State. Hear from Juwan Howard, Jet Howard, Terry Mills coming up here on Defend the Block.
We're talking Michigan basketball. Welcome to Defend the Block, where we'll take you inside the basketball programs with interviews, analysis, and so much more. Now, here's your host, Brian Bush.
What I loved about that Big Ten championship team 2 years ago during the bubble season was that it seemed like it could transform itself in a way to not just take away the strengths of opponents, but embrace those strengths, mold themselves, not completely change who they are, but tweak, adjust, redefine just a little bit, and then make that a part of their game. This was the first and probably the best sign of Michigan being able to do that against Penn State, because they shot the three better than the Nittany Lions, 8 of 19 versus 9 of 28. And maybe not so much taking advantage of the strengths of an opponent, but not necessarily needing to exploit an obvious flaw in an opponent and try to dictate the game that way, but kind of let it come to them. Penn State came in as one of the worst teams defending post-ups all season. Listen, Hunter Dickinson still had a really solid performance, 17 points, but he only took 10 shots. He was fourth on the team in field goal attempts. He didn't have to take up everything. Now, part of it was he dished out some pretty good passes. He didn't get an official assist, but there were a few instances where a missed shot that would have led to an assist took place, or he kind of got one of those hockey assists where he helped set up the possession or eventually lead to an open shot. But Michigan was able to kind of take what the game brought him, understanding that, hey, Jalen Pickett, he was a strength that Michigan was not going to be able to take away on this night. He had a game-high 26. He, you know, if it weren't for Zach Edey at Purdue, we'd be talking about Pickett as a Big Ten Player of the Year candidate. I mean, Edey's got a monopoly on that at this point as we get into the heart of Big Ten play. But, you know, Michigan did not get deterred by some of those Penn State strengths and did not try to force any of those Penn State weaknesses, and it added up to a 10-point win. The other thing is we'll talk about here coming up with Terry, with Coach Howard, is that, I mean, how often do you see a team win a game when they went into halftime up by single digits? It was an 8-point halftime advantage for Michigan, and you give up a pair of double-digit unanswered runs, two 11-0 runs, one at the beginning of the half, it started about 80 seconds in, and then the other, when Michigan had pushed the lead to 14, kind of felt like the game was done with about 8 minutes left, but Penn State crawled back to within three. They actually had a possession where they had a chance to tie the ball game, but were unable to tie it. Michigan was able to deliver a couple of big shots. Kobe Bufkin, a tough layup. Doug McDaniel with a jumper, as Michigan was able to hold on despite some issues at the free throw line, despite, again, those two 11-0 runs. It was a game where Michigan found a way. I thought they played pretty well overall, but there were certainly some instances, some issues that if you keep those around in the heart of Big Ten play, you're going to have a tough time winning consistently. Teams are going to take advantage of it, and Penn State certainly did to an extent. But then Michigan was able to cut it off. That bend but don't break type of a mentality certainly was key for Michigan in this one. Again, Wolverines win it by 10, 79-69 over Penn State. 3-0 in Big Ten play heading to East Lansing coming up on Saturday. That's my overview of this one. Let's bring in the national champ, Terry Mills. It's pretty remarkable, Terry, when you can have a couple of double-digit runs right at you in the second half, and then you come back and win by double digits, Michigan taking it 79-69. How did they kind of weather those storms?
Well, one word comes to mind, and that's resilience. I mean, they never quit. You know, I mean, when a team hits you like that and you take a hit in the mouth like that, it's easy for you to just kind of roll over. Either you're going to roll over or you're going to fight back. And what Michigan did was they fought back, and they went to what got them there, and that was get that ball inside to Hunter, and Hunter was making the right decisions with the basketball. But it started down on that defensive end. They got those defensive stops, and that's what needs to happen. You can't go on 11-0 runs without playing good defense.
Statistically, Michigan did good work against Penn State's three-point shooting. Came in best in the Big Ten, just shy of 40%. Penn State shoots 9 of 28. Assess how they did, because obviously there were some missed open looks for Penn State. How did they do defending the three?
I thought they did a pretty good job overall, but, I mean, give Penn State credit. They hit some deep three-point shots, and I tell you what, that's their makeup, that's their team, and I tell you what, they're going to be around. They're going to be in the thick of things as the Big Ten season goes on. But I thought Michigan did a good job at picking them up in transition. But some of those single pin downs and deep shots, I think Funk might have shot one from the logo here. So you just got to be careful when you're playing a team like Penn State, because they'll pull it up and shoot it from anywhere.
Yeah, and he's the one. 9 points for Funk, came in averaging 12, but the big number, he was second in the Big Ten with 44% shooting from deep and just went 1 for 8. He had a couple of open looks in the second half that did not go down. One was halfway in and popped out, and that proved to be really important. Kobe Bufkin, Jet Howard, both 14 points. They weren't the most efficient they've been on the season, but what they're doing and learning and growing on the other side of things. Bufkin, 6 rebounds, 5 assists. Jet Howard with 7 rebounds, 2 assists. Battled a little bit of foul trouble early on. Never was a factor in the second half. Those two are growing in different ways, in more ways, which I think is helping lift the ceiling of this team.
Yeah, yes, and that's exactly what's happening. We always talk about what Hunter has to do in order for Michigan to win. Well, you can lean on Hunter, but who is that consistent other players on this team that you can kind of count on? And right now, as the season goes on, I see 2 or 3 different players that you can really count on. And Jet Howard's being one of them. Kobe is being another. So it's special to see these guys come into their own.
I will say, I mean, Penn State came in statistically vulnerable on post-ups. Hunter Dickinson took the 4th most shots on the team. I wouldn't have expected that. He only took 10 shots on the night, yet Michigan was still able to have success and win. I want you to weigh in on Joey Baker. He hit 3 huge threes, played 18 minutes. I thought he was a huge X factor for this team tonight.
Oh, definitely. And you know what? I think he's building confidence. I mean, that's the reason they asked him to come here, was to shoot the basketball. I thought early in the year he was a little hesitant. Right now, he's almost like a gun for hire right now. I mean, he was out there pretty much just saying, if I get any daylight, it's kind of like, let it go. And he had that type of confidence, and he almost had me standing up, giving up the 3 sign anytime he turned one loose, because that was the type of rhythm that he was in.
Michigan State coming up Saturday in East Lansing, the first of 2 meetings. Spartans are 10-4 overall. They are 2-1 in Big Ten play. Took care of Nebraska at home last night by 18. You know this rivalry very well. I know these dates are circled on your calendar every year. What are these next couple of days like for this team, especially considering Michigan's got a lot of players who have not competed in this game before?
Well, I mean, nothing's going to have to be said about it. I mean, they understand. I mean, these young men have seen them play football games or whatever have you, and these rivalries are something special. Nothing needs to be said. You just put on your hard hat and you're ready to go. You're looking at a team that's going to be probably totally opposite of what you played here in Penn State today. Michigan State loves to get that ball up the court. Transition defense is going to be a must. And, hey, Coach Izzo's team always hit the glass. So, do the job that you did today on the glass, and you'll give yourself a chance.
Let's get into our post-game interviews, and we started with one of the key cogs for Michigan on Wednesday night. That's freshman Jet Howard. Jet, first off, man, tell us about what it was like in that second half. So many runs back and forth. How'd you guys stabilize and get this job done?
We just knew it was a game of runs. We didn't get too high, too low, and we just stuck with it. We understand that Pickett was having a good game, and we just tried to stay the course and not get down on ourselves when they get a bucket, and just come back and try to do the right thing.
Yeah, Jet, what has been a turning point in your game? I know you've always been able to get it done on the offensive end, but now I think that you got a complete game. You're getting it done on both ends of the floor, and also doing a good job passing the basketball.
I appreciate that. Yep. Thank you. But I would say just watching film with Sadi, my dad, Howard, all the guys just telling me, like, you know, it's not enough, and what I'm doing is not enough, and I need to fix it, or else, you know, I'm going to be sitting next to them. So I just feel like they just emphasize, you know, being body on and all the little details to being a good defender. So that helped me a lot.
What have the last 6 days been like? Was that Central Michigan game a wake-up call, a spark? What did that do? Because you guys have bounced back from that with 2 of your best performances of the season.
Yeah, I would say it was a turning point, in my opinion. I'd say, like, after that team meeting, everyone was on the same page. It was clear cut, and we understood that that can't happen again, and we just wanted to play Michigan basketball because we were getting away from that. So I'm proud of my guys, man. They're doing their thing, so.
Yeah, it seems like everybody's clicking at the right time. Did you guys kind of go over during that little rough stretch you had, kind of redefine what your role is? Because, I mean, Joey Baker's coming into his own. Terrence Reed is playing phenomenal. Did you guys kind of define your roles?
Yeah, we defined our roles. We just obviously emphasize team basketball. At the end of the day, a win is a win, and don't get away from that. When we win more, all of us are going to get the successes, and we just had to understand that. We had to understand winning had to be the first thing before. So.
Lastly, Michigan State coming up on Saturday. What have you gleaned from others who have played in this game? What from Coach Howard, from others who have coached in this? I know you know how much it means, but what do you have kind of stored in that memory getting ready for Saturday?
I personally say that's a good question. I'd say I just grew up disliking Michigan State. I know they have a great basketball program over there, but, you know, we're just going to go in there like we did today, play team basketball, fight hard, do all the little things, and hopefully we come out with a victory.
That is an excellent answer. That was a senior-like answer from the freshman, Jed Howard. Congrats. Great work. We appreciate it. We'll see you on Saturday up there.
Okay. Appreciate that. Yep.
Wolverines a winner 79-69 on Wednesday over Penn State. Let's break it down with the head coach, Juwan Howard. Coach, there were two Penn State runs 11-0. Not often does that happen to a team, and then they still pull it out. How did your club weather the storm and flip the momentum back a couple of times?
Well, it's called staying the course. And, you know, we growing up a lot, we showed a lot of maturity on knowing the fact that, you know, when you get a team that, you know, make runs, you know, let's not, you know, get out of shape. Get bent out of shape. You know, our goal is to keep the mindset rolling, knowing that this game is about runs, stay the course, and let's go out there and just get a stop on the next possession.
Yeah, Coach, your team gave up only 5 offensive rebounds. I think it was some stat where you gave up 14 in the last 2 games, but you gave up 17 against Central Michigan. Has that been a point of emphasis, is rebounding the basketball?
Oh, absolutely. It's been a point of emphasis since day one.
Right.
But – you know, we definitely put more emphasis on it, and we continue to keep working on it. But, you know, every coach, you know, when you have a situation where you see where you give up offensive rebound and it leads to a bucket, you know, some of the players may think you're nitpicking, but, you know, I'm trying to develop the habits.
You and I talked pregame, and you referenced almost immediately the ability for Penn State to shoot from deep. 9 of 28. They got a few looks that didn't go down, but assess your three-point defense, because that was one of their worst three-point shooting games of the season, and you guys were able to deliver that defensively.
Well, I mean, you know, I give them a lot of credit, but every time they shoot, it's not going to go down.
Sure.
But as a coach, you wish and pray that happened, but it says a lot about our defense that our guys, of course, contest the shots. And when you contest shots at a high rate, you know, you look at the numbers, like in any, you know, basketball, you know, level play, whether it's high school, college, NBA, contesting shots, you know, they always in the 30%. When you do not contest shots, then you're going to pretty much allow your opponent to shoot in the high 50s. And tonight, you know, our guys did a really good job of taking care of the three-point line, despite the fact that we did gift a few because of mental breakdown. But we'll keep getting better with that, and we'll keep growing.
Yeah, Coach, what do you tell a team when you're facing a guy like Jalen Pickett that really has it going? And some of these shots he was hitting over Hunter in the lane, and I was just shaking my head like, he really has it going today. What were you saying to your team?
Well, I said it before the game.
Okay.
One guy is not going to beat us.
Right.
One guy is not going to beat us.
There you go.
I remember that with Garza. One guy is not going to beat us. Let's make sure that we do not give any gifts at the three-point line. Let's make sure that every bucket that Jalen gets, he has to work for it, which he did. 9 for 16. And he got 26 points. You know, he scores at, over every team. But it's nice to see that, you know, one of the other guys, like Lundy, got 16, and the others didn't. get to double figures.
Well, I mean, Pickett averaged better than 7 assists a game. He only got 4. That was an area you guys really made him work. Lastly, we talked with Jet. The shot hasn't fallen as efficiently as it did earlier in the season, but he has done so much everywhere else. How have you seen the aspects of his game outside of scoring the basketball grow in recent games and recent weeks?
I tell Jet, stay aggressive. It will fall. You know, he knows how to play. He knows how to shoot the basketball. Stay aggressive. Stay confident. When you got open looks, let it fly. And then he's showing also that he can affect the game in other ways too. Yeah. Like last game, for example, you know, you look at his stat line, you know, 6, 6, and 5, almost had a triple-double, but he was also making a lot of good plays for Hunter. And also defensively, he did an excellent job on the other end. Now tonight, same thing defensively. You know, he played both sides of the ball. He rebounded the ball, got 7 rebounds. And when he rebounded the ball, it's great for us because then he gets to push the ball up floor and initiate where he's making plays for others. I love our chances with that young man on the floor.
Yeah, I'm glad you acknowledged that because I definitely gave him his flowers when we had him on, is that he's able to do multiple things out there now. And I know sometimes you're asking guys not to only, you know, be on the weak side, guard your man, but then also rebound. You're doing multiple things. And right now I think that he can take on all those tasks right now.
Yes. Because, you know, when you have a guy like Jalen Llewellyn who's out, you know, now we have another guy that we need to step up and initiate some of our offense, whether it's in transition or as a half court. And Jet has taken on some of that role as well, but he's also impacted the game in ways that doesn't show up in a box score because he's every night you're going to face a 3, 4, or 2 that is dynamic, and especially in our league in Big Ten. So with that, I love how he's approached it, how he's grew with it, and I also love how our coaching staff has did a great job of working with him. You know, Saadi, Howard Isley, you know, Colin, you know, the list goes on.
And I'm glad you mentioned Jalen. Saw the picture on social. He had his surgery today. From what I understand, everything went well?
Yes, it did. Great. Yes, thank God. Thank God. You know, it sounds like, you know, it was a successful surgery. Now, one day at a time when it comes to his recovery.
No doubt. Another win there for Michigan. Coach, we appreciate the time. Congrats.
Thank you.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Before we get out of here, the highlight recap. It was a roller coaster at times, especially in the second half. To detail it, here's Rob Joyce.
Time to run through the highlights in this one. Michigan trying to stay unbeaten in Big Ten play against a very good Penn State team entering at 11-3 overall. Unlike Sunday, where Michigan took the lead 25 seconds in, never looked back against Maryland. A very back-and-forth start to this one. 6 lead changes in the opening 4.5 minutes before Michigan would exert a little control. A Jet Howard 3-point play started a 9-0 run, helped up the lead to multiple possessions, and ultimately give the Wolverines a lead they would never relinquish. 8 minutes in, briefly hit double figures at 20-10, and it was the freshman doing yeoman's work. We mentioned Jet Howard, his normal thing. Doug McDaniel, an explosive start, and a spark off the bench in Terrace Reed.
Bufkin zigzags left side, alley-oop to Reed, who stuffs it with 2 hands. Terrace Reed Jr. asserting himself early, Michigan +9.
Early minutes for Reed, a couple of buckets, makes it 22-13, but Penn State hung around via the 3-ball. That's their MO, 4-of-8 start from beyond the arc. Kept it close, 22-16 at the under 12 in the first half. Midpoint of the first, it's 25-18, and the Wolverines got more production from the bench. After Reed did his work inside earlier, Joey Baker came in, got it done from the outside.
Right wing Baker, another 3, another bang!
Joey Baker's got two early threes, and Michigan leads 28-18.
Against a Penn State team that relies heavily on threes, Michigan went toe-to-toe in that regard. 9 makes for the Nittany Lions, 8 for the Maize and Blue. For a solid 10 or so minutes, the teams basically matched one another. Penn State got to within 4 a few times. Michigan always an answer. Eventually got it up over double figures late in the half.
Now near sideline, Bufkin picked up his dribble. Give it Williams at the point. Michigan's lead is 9. Bufkin flutters it up. Dickinson, one dribble, hook shot in the lane. Yes. Got it as all 5 Nittany Lions were converging. Michigan by 11.
And it looked like...
Tip your cap to Hunter.
It looked like it would be an 11-point advantage at the break. A desperation three at the buzzer goes, though, for Penn State. So instead, a 42-34 halftime lead for Michigan. To open the second half, Wolverines opened with a McDaniel three to get it right back up to 11 when Penn State put forth its first sustained run of the second half.
So Nittany Lions the basketball, up by 7. Left side, Lundy, step back, left corner, 3 is pure. And Penn State, just like that, is within 4. Timeout, Juwan Howard in Michigan. And Coach Howard using a timeout in the first media battle of both halves.
The run continued after the timeout, an 11-0 burst in all. It tied the game at 47 with 15 minutes to go. And in need of an answer, they turned back to Jet.
McDaniel to the point, Dickinson back to Doug. In between the rings. Now left side, Jet Howard. Step back, 3 for the lead. Got it. Jet Howard right on cue, gets into double figures. Michigan up 50-47.
That was only the start of the counterpunch. Kobe Bufkin, a bucket. Terrence Williams the second, a 3. Just like that, back to an 8-point lead. Then the freshman bookends the run the old-fashioned way. Tonight's Call of the Game brought to you by the experts at University of Michigan Health.
Wolverines up 55-47, almost 13 minutes to play. Left wing Bufkin, whip it right side, Jet Howard. He'll drive in, he'll bank, he'll score, and a foul!
Tonight's Call of the Game brought to you by University of Michigan Health. There's a difference between an answer and a Michigan answer. To learn more about Michigan's best hospital, visit MichiganAnswers.com. After Penn State tied it at 47, Michigan ripped off 14 straight in less than 2 minutes. 13 minutes to go. It is 60-47. Penn State went nearly 5 minutes without a bucket before they would end the drought. Midway through the half, it's a 63-51 advantage. Not over yet, though. Nittany Lions, a couple of quick makes. Bring it back down to single digits inside of 10 to go. Again, Michigan responds. Hunter Dickinson, a couple of putbacks from close range. Then after his first half spark, Joey Baker provided a second half jolt.
Left pocket, Baker another 3. You betcha! Joey Baker motions to the crowd after his third tray. Wolverines up 68-54.
Forced a Penn State timeout with 8 minutes left, a 68-54 lead, but it wasn't over yet. Nittany Lions would score 6 unanswered, make it an 8-point game. Then, it's a 6-point game. Under 5 to go, Michigan an empty trip to the free throw line, followed by a Penn State triple. 11-0 run again. 4 minutes to go, it's a 1-score contest. 68-65, a McDaniel free throw stops the run for a bit. Michigan's only points came via the free throw line. Over 5 minutes without a field goal, 3.5 to go, it's 70-67 before Kobe Bufkin ends the drought with a layup. Trading buckets again. 2 minutes left. 72-69. Penn State misses a 3 for the tie. Michigan ball. 90 seconds to go. Up by 3. They'd go to a different freshman for an answer.
Shot clock down to 7. McDaniel around a screen from Dickinson. Works to the free throw line. Floater is pure. Dickinson got bumped too. No call. 74-69 Michigan. Timeout Penn State with 104 left. And that was a monstrous bucket from the freshman Doug McDaniel, growing right in front of our eyes.
74-69 Michigan, a minute to go. Then after the Wolverines missed a couple of free throws earlier in the half, Penn State's Jalen Pickett, a big front-end miss on a 1-1, all but ends it. T-Will goes 2-for-2 on the other end, another stop, a couple more free throws, and Michigan stays perfect in Big Ten play, closes the game on a 7-0 run, and wins by 10, 79-69.
That will do it for this edition of Defend the Block. Can't wait. Coming up Saturday, Michigan and Michigan State from Breslin Center. Wolverines trying to stay unbeaten in Big Ten play. Thanks to Jet Howard, Juwan Howard, Terry Mills, Rob Joyce, and most importantly, to all of you for listening. Subscribe, rate, and review. We got a whole lot coming for you here throughout 2023 on MGO Blue Podcasts and, of course, on Defend the Block. Wolverines winner over Penn State. Thanks, as always, for listening.
Thanks for listening to today's edition of Defend the Block, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network.
M Go Blue podcasts. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.